The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Fred Bauer, AJ Hoffman, they are out yet again, still on vacation. Instead, you've got myself, Craig Koshkin, Jermaine Every. Jong Snow's here, though. He's behind the glass. How you doing, Jong and Jermaine?
Doing good.
How are you
doing
guys?
Doing well. Glad to be here. Second day in less than a week that we get the opportunity to fill in on this show.
We must be doing something right. We've got to be doing something right.
Everyone else just said no. And we're at the bottom of the list, which is probably the more likely scenario.
Look, don't hurt my self-esteem. I prefer to think that we're semi-kind of good H-list celebrities here, so they asked us to come back.
Oh, you moved up a letter.
Yeah, I think I moved up a letter. I'm pretty sure I moved up a letter.
Okay, hey, two times on the Blitz might do that for you. We've got one mission on today's episode of The Sideline on the Blitz.
Yes.
And that is get our man Jong Snow to San Diego Comic-Con.
Sponsors, if you're out there, please call in 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-3776. We need to get Jong to San Diego Comic-Con. He is a fully credentialed member, so you do not have to pay for his entry. But if you would like to sponsor his trip out there, please call in and talk to the interns there and get us your name, your company, your info, and let's get Jong to Comic-Con.
It's got to be a work trip for him. He's got all his vacation tied into his honeymoon. So that's poor vacation plan. No, actually, you're going to Asia and you need 2 weeks to, you know, just get accustomed to the time zones and get over there and do everything. So that's
Eat all the food.
That's where his vacation time went. But we need to make this a work trip for him.
Yes.
I'm comfortable saying that Jong will cosplay in whatever you want him to if you are willing to sponsor his trip out there.
So if you want Jong to cosplay as Chun-Li from Street Fighter, he will do so.
I was just thinking Chun-Li as well. Is that racist that you and I both were thinking Jong should be Chun-Li?
I was just trying to think of a cute comic-like type of character that he could dress up as, like especially a girl, to make it a little bit more embarrassing. That was the first one that came to mind.
Jong, are you willing to dress up as Chun-Li to get that sponsorship?
Well, I mean, if you send me put me up for flight and hotel, I'll be down for it.
Okay, you heard it from the man.
Chun-Li or the Red Witch.
Ooh, that's a good one. Although you'd have to get a really good wig. I don't think the bald head's going to pull off.
We'd have to get him a really good wig. So, but if you want to sponsor Jong for a Comic-Cast again, call in, talk to everybody over here at ESPN 97.5, and let us know what's going on. It's a Tuesday.
Not a lot going on a Tuesday in the summer in the world of sports. Although, kind of the thing everyone is talking about, and I'm a little sick of it, but it'd be really wrong to ignore just the elephant in the room. President Trump uninvited the Eagles. Today was the day they were supposed to be there for their Super Bowl celebration and meet the president. And instead, Donald Trump had an impromptu celebration of America on the White House lawn.
Yeah, that was pretty lame. The funny thing about it is, man, is that there were only going to be about 10 of the guys on their roster that were actually going to even show up for this event.
Well, the original travel was 81 people, and then the Eagles called back and said, not everyone's going to show up. And
right.
There's a lot of back and forth. So the White House blames the Eagles. The Eagles blames the White House for President Trump's stance on players who kneel. And then you have the whole saga of Fox News using pictures of Eagles players from 2 years ago kneeling in prayer before the game, trying to say they were kneeling for the national anthem in protest, right, when no Eagles on record last year were kneeling for the national anthem.
I want to say that there was one guy who knelt in a preseason game, but he didn't even make the regular season roster, if I'm not mistaken. Last thought, this was something that came, like, I want to say not too long, like while we were doing show prep or just before we got here, It was something that just came out. Like, it was on the August the 17th or 21st, something like that. But it literally just came out that something like that had happened. But still, bottom line is, they tried to make a big deal out of all of this. And the Eagles, during the regular season, when most people are paying attention to football, we'll categorize it as that, they did not have anybody that knelt down.
But that's the problem with mainstream media as a whole. What doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on, mm-hmm. they're going to misinterpret the data to prove whatever point, or try and prove whatever point supports their principles.
Of course. And here's the thing. I'm not riding on one side of the fence or the other, but with the political climate in this country, everybody does it. Whether you're a liberal, a conservative, independent, libertarian, Green Party, whatever it is, everybody at some point manipulates statistics, news, headlines, stories, and they craft it for their argument. And it's getting out of hand. It's just getting ridiculous to fudge stats and different things like that, and word things and contort things. It's the same thing that's been going on with athletes in the media, in which some of them do not trust the media because they take their quotes out of context and blow it up, and they make a whole issue out of something that really isn't there.
No, you could not be more correct. It's funny. I saw on Twitter today, Lance Zierlein was getting in a discussion about Stat Guy. And how ridiculous they are. And they were talking about Sports Stat Guy, but it's the same principle. Like, Sports Stat Guy, the hardcore Sports Stat Guy geek, nerd, I don't want to say virgin, but maybe a little bit.
Could be.
I don't know. They typically never present the full argument, just the part of the argument, the part of the data set that quote unquote proves their point. When there's an entire other part of this data set that puts their point in the garbage can.
Yeah, and you know what's really funny is whenever that happens and then the rebuttal comes with the truth or more facts based against their argument, it's either they run away and hide like a turtle in the shell, or they will stand and die on that sword and like, no, this is my point. This is what I meant by this. And it's just foolish. You know, why can't we just, you know, look for facts and be a fact-based reporting system that you're going to put out there? Because when you put out so much crap, people eventually are going to snuff you out. And there's nothing that you can do about it unless you're absolutely 100% correct and factual and you present things in context.
How sad is it that we are a year and 18 to 24 months into this whole kneeling ordeal, and we're still talking about it? The NFL could have easily squashed this entire thing by just saying, get your butt on the field and stand, or we're not going to take the government's money anymore, and we're not going to have this display of patriotism on the field for the cameras anymore. Could have done either of those things. And granted, they're always going to side on the mm-hmm. on the side of taking money. It's the NFL. They're a business. They're going to try and generate revenue in any way they can.
Of course they are. The thing is like you said, they could have squashed it. They chose not to. And the answer that they had, like the owners came up with, actually created more of an issue out of this whole thing as opposed to less of an issue out of this whole thing.
And to all those out there, I have mixed feelings about this whole deal to begin with. But for anyone out there who cries that the NFL can't do this because First Amendment rights, da 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 da. Learn how the First Amendment works. Protects you from government intervention. It does not protect you from your employer saying you can't do this on my time.
Right. There's so many different things out there that people pretend to or don't really understand. And this is what I hate about when politics gets crossed up into sports is sports talk radio, like what we're doing now, whether it's a blog, the live radio podcast and things like that. Sports are supposed to be a respite from your normal everyday activity. Sports is supposed to take you away and give you an alternative, you know, give you a fantasy land, a dreamscape, something to an outlet to get away from things. And with all this political climate coming into the sports landscape, it's no longer fun. It doesn't make it, you know, worthwhile to say, okay, I'm going to enjoy this without something political being thrown into it. That's the last thing people want to do when they tune into the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, whatever else it is.
And that's a large reason why a lot of people had a problem with the entire deal. Regardless of the intent of the protest, some people don't want that to be part of their escape. And you can call it putting their head in the sand to a real issue. You can call it whatever you want to call it. Their opinion of what it looks like is completely valid. How that person feels is valid, regardless of the intent. It doesn't matter. So I don't know. We'll open up the phone lines, but I don't want a whole lot of political talk. I don't think anyone wants a whole lot of political talk on this. Tell us how you're going to get Jong to San Diego Comic-Con. That's what we want to hear. 713-780-3776. When we come back, we'll talk sports, because that's what this show is all about.
We got sports and stuff.
And stuff. You're listening to The Blitz.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
Craig Koshkin, Jermaine Every, in for Fred and AJ today. Jon Snow is in behind the glass. You can call in on the HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. Also, follow ESPN 97.5 on social media. Add us on Snapchat, ESPN 97.5. Twitter, Degenerates 97.5. Facebook, The Blitz 97.5. Stream us on the ESPN Radio app and on ESPN975.com. Or find our podcasts on podcastarena.com. Craig Koshkin, my Twitter handle, C_KOSH, at the underscore Jermaine. And at Jong Snow, there is a zero instead of the last O.
And you spell my name Jermaine.
Now that we got the housekeeping out of the way, we're going to take one call on kneeling in the NFL, because we're not going to have this topic take over the entire show and dictate how this show is going to go. We probably shouldn't even take one call on it, but we're going to let Kubert come in and give his piece. Kubert, welcome into the Blitz. How are you doing this afternoon?
Hey, guys. Sports. Oh, this is on me, man. You guys sound kind of, AJ and Trey, y'all sound kind of weird on the radio, so I have to call in and verify I was getting the right signal. But, I was kind of just agreeing with you guys' opinion and, why the different people go to these sporting events and just to get away from the politics and get away from all these different type of ideologies and beliefs. So, so kind of like what you guys were mentioning, what can, besides the NFL just did, the policy or the rule the NFL just passed, what can the owners do? Because I know a lot of these guys are under contract. And isn't some of these things, terminology, doing actions detrimental to the team, shouldn't that take into effect? I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you for the call, Kubert. It's not really actions detrimental to the team. What it is like what the NBA did years back. They had some issues with similar things, and they just wrote it into the game day operations handbook, basically, as to say, this is part of being a player. This is what's required on game day. For example, wearing certain color uniforms, shoes, different things like that. They made it a part of that part of their operational handbook to make it a part of standard procedure operations. So it's something that the players must adhere to. The NFL is trying to do something like that, but they're so far behind the eight ball and they didn't get in front of this problem, like Craig said in the opening segment, that it's now making the problem worse.
Well, that and when they decided to make a decision on this, it was all wishy-washy. It was optional.
Right.
It was. Hey,
there was nothing
if you're
concrete.
If you're going to be on the field, yeah, you're going to stand. But you can go back in the locker room, and you don't have to be there. And if you can do whatever you want as long as you're not on the field.
Right. Pre-2009, they were all in the locker room, and that was all part of what was going on. Post-2009, when the NFL decided to take government money for advertising dollars and make everything patriotic, that's when this all started to come about. Not really come about, but that's when the players started being on the field for the anthem. But before that, there was no issue because they weren't even on the field.
Yep.
And a lot of people hadn't even realized that until Colin Kaepernick and them started kneeling. And then people brought up the fact that, oh, they weren't even on the field until 2009.
The last thing I'll say about all of this, and we're going to take one more call because we have one more person calling in, and we're going to take one more after this. But last thing I'll say is the worst part about all this is all the people telling other people that they should be offended by something.
That is the absolute worst.
All of the non-veterans telling veterans that they're offended by this. Now, if you are a veteran and you are offended by it, valid, completely. You were the one who served and did everything. Completely valid. But if you are not a veteran and never had any indication of serving, don't tell a veteran that they should be insulted by someone else's actions towards the flag.
Because I've talked to active duty and veterans, and some of them fall on either side of the argument.
It's about split for the ones that I've talked to as well. It's about 50-50 split. And your opinion is valid anyway. You served. You can feel offended by it. You can not feel offended by it. That's your opinion on it. But someone who didn't serve saying, oh, well, they're disrespecting veterans. You're not a veteran. Yeah. You don't know if they feel disrespected or not.
The coolest pick I ever seen about it was there was a 90-something-year-old World War II vet who said he's taking the knee because he says that's the reason why he fought in World War II was for us to enjoy these type of freedoms. We're going to take this one last call on this subject, and that's going to be it.
I'm sorry, John. You're on the line. You want to talk about the anthem. We're not going to take your call. I'm just letting you know straightforward. We're going to take OU Mike, and this will be the last call on the subject. OU Mike, welcome into the Blitz.
Hey, guys. As a country, I think we're divided, and sometimes we don't answer the really important questions that are out there. Like with you guys, I know with me, I would prefer Beyonce didn't wear the skin tone leggings or pantyhose when she's performing. I'd just rather the natural skin. What do you guys think about that?
You know, I don't mind the nude color, the pantyhose. I really don't. Because, what if she has like a little bruise or something from dance practicing or something like that, and she gets a bruise on her leg, or, you know, maybe she got a mark or something like that, or, you know, she may have a little imperfection in her skin. The natural color pantyhose is one of the greatest inventions in the history of womanhood. And ladies, if you're out there, please call in and tell me if I'm not lying. Nude color pantyhose, lipstick, all that kind of stuff. It gives the illusion of perfect skin. So when you're watching something like that on TV, it caters to the imagination. OU Mike, so you got to learn how to appreciate that, man.
I don't know. For the first time, I might agree with an OU fan on something.
Dude, this is historic.
It is. I agree. Let's see in its grandeur. Let's see the original state of everything. You know, a bruise isn't going to change Beyonce from being Beyonce. I
mean, not at all.
So I'm going to go with the OU fan on that one. I think that was a good call. Smart call. Yeah. Way to diffuse the topic. I love it.
Good job, OU Mike. But you know what?
Although we disagree along racial lines on this one. So
because
I don't know.
I don't mind the...
I understand your logic on this. Don't get me wrong. I was being silly because everything's got to be racial these days.
No, but I don't mind the nude color pantyhose. I kind of like it.
Okay.
I kind of like it.
That's your own deal. So Oliver Luck's going to be the new XFL commissioner, or he was named the XFL commissioner today. Good move or bad move?
That was an excellent move. Anything Oliver Luck has touched recently has turned to gold. He turned around West Virginia and put in Dana Holgorsen over there. He's helped the NCAA through some things. He started out as an executive with the Dynamo. I mean, just about everything he's touched in his post-career life, as far as he was even a commissioner with the NFL Europe, mm-hmm. and helped get that going and whatnot. So he's done a lot of good things business-wise. So this is Vince McMahon's perhaps the biggest sign that he's really into this iteration of the XFL and wanting to actually make it work and be a viable competition.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good hire. You hired the guy with all of the experience in the world to do something like this. He probably wouldn't have been on my top five list if I was making a list of potential XFL commissioners, but my list probably would have been all ex-wrestlers anyway.
See, you want this to turn into the goofy stuff like they did before. I actually want to see.
No, if there's a viable competition for the NFL, I am all for that. To give me more football to watch, I'm completely down with it. I just know that Vince McMahon likes gimmicks to make things work. So,
you know, the gimmicky thing was cool at one point, but I'm more or less, I don't think it's ever going to be competition for the NFL. What I think that this could be is a Canadian Football League alternative at best, where guys can go and get some experience playing some professional football, maybe get noticed by the NFL, and maybe get a shot at trying out in training camp or something like that. I think that'll be just about it. I don't think it'll be anything more than that.
The most important question is, will we get nicknames on the back of jerseys again? That's all I care about. I want He Hate Me Part 2. He Hate Me Junior.
You know, I wouldn't mind that as much if I didn't want this to be a serious football league. And by the hire of Oliver Luck, I think Vince McMahon is going for the more serious football league angle as opposed to the gimmicky WWE-style football angle. Now, one thing that I would not mind is the 50-yard dash to the football to determine possession. If the NFL wants to get rid of kickoffs and the damage that kickoffs can potentially do as far as concussions is concerned,
let's just sacrifice one person and have them do.
Why not sacrifice one or two guys as opposed to a whole 22 guys on the field at the same time in a big car wreck?
Well, 21, the kicker's typically just running off the field. So,
hey, there's been times where some kickers stick their noses in there.
Occasionally. It doesn't happen very often. But we're two segments in, and we haven't talked NBA Finals. That's probably a good thing. But we will address it when we come back. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this special edition of The Blitz. No Fred, no AJ. But we will be right back.
Houston.com, ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center. This report is sponsored by Account Temps. I-45 the North Freeway southbound at Parramatta. There's an accident in three left lanes and traffic's heavy from the Hardy Toll Road. Need additional help closing your books? Account Temps can find your right fit, like bookkeepers or other accounting and finance professionals, on a temporary basis and fast. Account Temps or Robert Half Company. This traffic update's brought to you by Honda of Houston.com. Schedule your Goldwing demo ride today.
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Craig Koshkin, Jermaine Every filling in for Fred and A.J. today. They are still on vacation. Is Fred still in the Bay Area, John? Is he?
No, he should be. I think he landed like an hour ago.
Oh, okay. Well, he's back in town, though. So they're back tomorrow.
No, Fred is.
Fred's back. Okay.
AJ's out the rest of the week.
Okay. Well, it's summer. That's when most of these superstar Hollywood types get to take their vacation.
Yeah, and then they call us in from the burbs to come and fill in for them.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm all for it. I like it.
I'm not complaining at all.
We are on a mission. Get Jong to San Diego Comic-Con. He got credentialed as a member of the press. Full access. He just can't get there unless he's sponsored and makes it a work trip. So if you own a comic book shop, if you like comic books, if you hate comic books, do you just want to see Jong dressed as Chun-Li from Street Fighter?
Or the Red Witch from Game of Thrones.
Anything. Just call us. Let us know. 713-780-3776. We want him to be able to go there. I mean, I want him to go because I want to live vicariously through Jong and his tweets.
That I think it would be very interesting, because Jong's the kind of guy where he doesn't mind like making an ass of himself if it's all in good fun. Hence, if you've seen any of the pictures or videos from his wedding, that wig that he had on, Jong, that was pretty awesome. That was pretty awesome.
Thank you.
He also got tased for the show at one point.
Yeah,
in time, so.
I mean,
no, pepper sprayed.
Pepper sprayed, sorry.
Pepper sprayed,
not
exactly.
Tased.
So Jong is more than willing to do the oh, if you ever listen on the app and you hear the drop about him drinking the vodka straight out of the bottle like a hobo, you know, I mean, he's a team player. Jong is a team player.
He is team Gal Media, and he will do whatever it takes to exactly. succeed.
So we want to return the favor by trying to get Jong to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
But moving on, there's lots of stories to talk about. People always say that these are the dead dog months of sports, and I don't believe that. I know you don't either.
Well, it depends on the year. So I'm a soccer guy. So a summer like this, the World Cup, easily. Every second year that's not a World Cup year, Euro Cup gets me through. When there's a Gold Cup and the U.S. is playing, that gets me through. So for me, the summer's not dead, although I don't watch MLS to save my life. Maybe I should, but it's an inferior product. But
you know, I don't mind watching MLS sometimes because for the simple fact that I want to see what America is putting out there as far as soccer talent sometimes.
I mean, like, yeah, I'll put a game on and just have it on in the background and kind of pay attention. I'm talking about following it, watch as many games as possible, know exactly what's going on in the league, what the standings are at any given time, how good are the Dynamo, how good is anyone else, who's going to play in MLS, all that stuff. That's the part that I don't do. Yes, will I put it on a Sunday afternoon in July when the MLS game of the week is on? Yeah, sure, why not? But that's because there's really nothing else on. But as far as the summer goes, NBA Summer League's not bad, and that's on NBA TV every year.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun to watch. A lot of fun to watch. I love watching Summer League for the simple fact that you get to see the guys that are going to be the up-and-coming stars in the NBA, you know, the future of the league, quote-unquote, as they're trying to get acclimated to the NBA game, NBA speed, NBA strength, so on and so forth. And also, one of the underestimated portions of Summer League that I really do enjoy is some of the coaches on the coaching staffs that get a chance to actually be a head coach and run a team and run a game, substitutions, timeouts, so on and so forth.
That type of stuff is why someone like Becky Hammon's getting run or was getting run for head coaching jobs.
Oh yeah,
here in the off season,
she did, in my opinion, a tremendous job at handling things in the summer league with the Spurs team, from what I could remember of seeing her coach. But also, you know, just seeing the teams trusting those guys to handle their young players and potential players that could be making the roster, I think it shows a lot of faith.
I like it in most years. Last year, I didn't care for it because it was the Lonzo Ball show, and went from, you know, having 3 points and no assists in a game to 18 points and 8 assists. And it was the LeVar Ball show. Stick a mic in front of LeVar Ball's face and let him give you a hot take. It was too much for me. And all I wanted to do really was watch a local kid and watch what De'Aaron Fox had at the next level.
That kid, I got a guy that I'm really good friends with who actually coached against him in middle school and high school. And he said from the time he saw him in middle school, he said he knew that kid was going to be special.
So, funny story. I did his senior year, all of the play-by-play for all of his home games on the radio. So, really? I got to see a lot of them. I was at the game where John Wall showed up because he was in town playing the Rockets, and they had the night off, and the gym was nuts because John Wall was there. They had to open up an entire extra side of the school so John Wall could have a private bathroom.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what it is.
You know what? I kind of don't blame him for that because...
Oh, no. I don't blame... Everyone was hounding him. Yeah. I don't blame him at all for it. If he can't take a piss in privacy, then...
Something's wrong.
Exactly. So, but
something's wrong.
De'Aaron Fox was playing... His team was actually the second best in their... They finished second in their district, but they did end up going to the regional finals in the playoffs. That's neither here nor there. But when they played the team who won the district... It was funny. I thought he wasn't having a good game, and then I'm going in the last 2 minutes. It's a close game, and I'm totaling up the stats that I'm taking. And I look down, and De'Aaron Fox has the quietest 38 points I've ever seen in my life. If you would have asked me, I would have said he had 12 points. He ends up with 38 on the night.
You know who else was like that, who was sort of a local product? DJ Augustine. When he relocated here to Hightower before he went to UT after Katrina, I used to take my son to watch the games because he's a pretty good family friend, and my cousin was like, hey, you're going to see DJ play when he gets there. And I said, oh, of course. you'd look up at the end of the game and DJ have like 25, 26, 30, 32 points. But he's not one of those kind of guys where it's a lot of flash and slash. You know, it's basically he gets to the free throw line. He's a pretty good outside shooter. He can finish at the rim. He would dish. I love watching guys like that. But this new age point guard, guys like De'Aaron Fox, like the kid from Alabama, Colin Sexton, Russell Westbrook really broke the mold for that kind of point guard. Damian Lillard, you know, these point guards who can do a little bit of everything, who can shoot and who are super athletic. This is the future of the NBA. This is the way the game is going. You know, you have the stretch fours now, you know, the guys who are 6'9 and up who can shoot the three. Now you have these uber athletic, you know, point guards who are 6'2 to 6'4 and can jump out the gym and are faster than Grease Lightning. I'm really liking the way the game is going and progressing now. It is beginning to kind of morph into something different.
Oh, you've seen it. The Warriors kind of started this whole thing with actually, if you want to be fair, the Spurs really started. They got back to ball movement, find the open man, get some athletic players who can play outside of Manu Ginobili, who's just the ageless wonder. But then the Warriors took over and took it to this whole other level when you get shooters like Klay and Steph, and then you add a Kevin Durant to that and a Draymond Green who can guard four positions on the floor. Yeah. And now teams are trying to mimic that. You see the Rockets, who are quote-unquote obsessed with beating Golden State. Didn't work out this year, but got them awfully close. If they could find a way to unload the terrible Ryan Anderson contract and put someone else in his place who can actually function when they play the Warriors, then you've got something.
Yeah, the thing with playing the Warriors, trying to beat the Warriors, you need to put together a team that can play defense, and you have to be able to switch and guard multiple positions. B, you need to be able to score and score, not score with them, but you need to be able to score at an efficient rate. C, that team also needs to protect the ball, because the Warriors are going to turn the ball over at an unusually high clip for a team who has that good of a ball handlers and shooters on it. You need to be able to take advantage of those extra possessions that they're giving you and not give them extra possessions. And that's what I mean when I emphasize score efficiently, because nobody can really score with them. But if you can score more efficiently, you'll be okay.
I mean, I don't know that I necessarily believe that. The Rockets can score with them. They are fully capable of scoring bucket for bucket with the Warriors, not when they miss 27 straight threes. And they shoot 15% from three for the entire game seven. But in a vacuum, they are capable of scoring with them. Like anything, when you can match up talent for talent, and yes, the Warriors are a better team, but it's not some massive divide between the two. It's close. And when you can make it close, it's about, like you said, those extra possessions. Who's winning the turnover battle? Who's losing the turnover battle? Who's getting good open looks, who's playing defense and who's not, and who can stay at least moderately warm at any given time. And that's what failed the Rockets ultimately, is they couldn't even shoot a bad percentage from three. They shot an abysmal percentage from three.
Yeah, they can. What I mean by score with the Warriors, when the Warriors go on a run, the Rockets didn't go on a run. And that's exactly that whole, you basically made my argument for me. They kept missing threes and they kept taking bad threes. The Warriors don't keep missing and taking bad shots because they have so many different people who can score in so many different ways.
I would advise you to go back and look at a lot of those shots. There were a lot more open looks than you think there were.
There were a lot of open looks.
That 27, you know, shot miss streak.
That's even more to my point. They can't score with the Warriors. The Warriors aren't going to miss that many open threes.
But you're talking about a one-game situation where they shot so far below their season average that it is an outlier. It's not part of the equation. It's so far off the grid. They are capable of scoring with the Warriors. They just didn't in the most crucial of spots.
The consistency is part of all of that. The consistency, you have to score consistently.
I guess. I do think the Rockets are fully capable, but well, we can talk about that a little later. We're taking your calls today, 713-780-3776, the HRNP listener line. Craig Koshkin, Jermaine Avery, Jon Snow. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Blitz.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred, no A.J. Instead, you got Craig Koshkin, Jermaine Every, Jon Snow in the building here on The Blitz today. Listen for your chance to win in the name game where we call two names. And if one of those is your name, you try to be the first caller and the winner of today's prize. A $50 gift certificate to Beavers, the laid-back eatery serving barbecued organic meats, inventive cocktails, and microbrew beers. The usual suspects gave away today's prize to Santiago since he was the first caller. Congratulations, Santiago, for being today's winner.
That was pretty cool.
I did not think Santiago would be someone to call in when the other option was Luke.
You know, I thought the same thing. We're sitting over there in the bullpen, and we're like, Santiago or Luke? Dude, Luke was like, in the spirit of the show, of the Blitz, Luke was like a plus 1 million?
He probably, if I was really making the odds, he would have been a plus 350.
Yeah,
would have been where I would give him.
That sounds about
probably
right.
Probably about plus 350, maybe plus 400 if I'm going there.
That sounds about right. Sounds about right. You know, we were talking earlier and we were saying about how this, sometimes this is like the dead time period of sports and there's not much sports to talk about and people get all down and depressed because football's gone and this is the fourth year in a row we have Cavs Warriors and just all
and it's going to be a sweep crap. So it doesn't matter.
Hey, we don't know that.
I am certain that it's going no more than five games. Just like last year, it was going no more than five games.
Herm Edwards, this is why they play the games. But so last night, I had to write my article for Sports Map, and I don't know. I had just been feeling this kind of way for a couple of days, especially after the Cavs lost and everybody's like, oh, it's going to be a sweep now. The article is basically titled Summer Sporting Events to Hold You Over. So if you're not into these sports, you may want to get invested in them because there are actually some pretty good things that are going on this summer that can hold you over until football gets back. In no particular order, I had first up was the World Cup from June 14th to July 15th, taking place in Russia this year.
Oh, there's a World Cup this year?
Yeah, right. You're like the biggest, one of the biggest soccer fans I know.
The U.S.
I know
you. The U.S. didn't qualify, so the World Cup's dead to me.
Dude,
I'm still going to watch every single game. I'm still going to watch every single
game. Thank you. You're going to watch every single game you possibly can.
Absolutely.
So just stop it.
Absolutely.
And the reason I put the World Cup up there should be fairly obvious if you're a sports fan because it's the premier sporting event of the summer, but not just the premier sporting event of the summer. It's the premier sporting event on a world stage. Outside of the Olympics, I would venture to say that the World Cup is the next biggest world sporting event that's out there.
I'm almost certain, although someone's going to most certainly prove me wrong if I am, that the World Cup actually out-earns the Olympics. The Olympics is a 2-week event. The World Cup's a month.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure the World Cup, from a revenue generation standpoint, generates more revenue than the Olympics does. Because it's also a whole country versus one city.
Right. I would think so. I would definitely think so. One other event that I had up there that I enjoy watching that you know, gets some excitement going is the Men's College World Series from June 16th through June 26th.
Yeah, the tournament's going on right now. The regionals were this past weekend. We got
super regionals are coming.
Super regionals are coming up. We got one edition of the Texas-Texas A&M rivalry again this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Almost got a second game out of it, but the Aggies fell to Indiana in an elimination game.
Yeah, I really wish they would have pulled that out to see one more.
I would have loved it. It would have been awesome.
AWT game. But, I mean, there's so many great moments that happen at the Men's College World Series. And, like, the Warren Morris walk-off home run that year to beat Miami in 1996 that earned him an ESPY.
Yep.
You know, and the whole story, the backstory of when they did the mini 30 for 30 on him about how he got hurt and didn't really know if he was going to play and all that kind of stuff. It's just the drama of it. And also, in sports, we love history, we love tradition, and there's nothing more historic or traditional than it still being played in little bitty Omaha, Nebraska, And from 1950 to 2010, roughly 60 years of its existence, was played in the exact same stadium.
Rosenblatt. My brother went there in 01 when Texas played in the College World Series. My wife's grandmother lives in Omaha.
Really?
So if we ever want to go, we have a place to stay, and we'll get all the fresh apple pie we want cooked.
Oh,
and,
my God.
It'd definitely be worth it. It's so expensive to get to Omaha by flight.
Seriously?
It's ridiculous. I think it's because there's only one a day. So the two places you don't want to have to travel from Houston to, because it's more expensive than you would ever think, Omaha and Nashville.
Nashville.
Nashville is always an expensive plane ticket. Always. I think there's only one flight. There might be two now daily from Houston to Nashville. And that's why the price goes up, because there's a limited number of seats.
I got a good friend of mine who would beg to differ. His son just finished up his football career at Montana State. That's a rough travel schedule right there.
That's a rough. I'm talking about just strictly from price.
I'm just talking about from a price perspective. Yeah. There's a ton of places out there that I've heard are outrageous like that you wouldn't really think of. And Nashville is one that really shocks me.
It's easy to get to LA, New York, Vegas, because there's 10, 12 flights there daily.
Right. You can leave from Hobby or Intercontinental and get to some of those places.
Exactly. So, but places like Omaha and Nashville, where there's not a high demand of travel, not to mention the tax that we're now paying so that we can preserve the Astrodome.
Oh, we're going to get into that later. Trust me, I got some feelings about that.
You hot?
I'm not going to go there right now, but later I will go there. Next up I had was the PGA, the U.S. Open, from June 11th to June 17th.
Next weekend. Love it. Here's how big a deal Tiger Woods is. Even though he's not playing well enough to be the top build guy, every ad I've seen for the U.S. Open on Fox features Tiger Woods. That's exactly how big of a deal Tiger Woods is. And it's amazing because he's playing better. I would love to see him win. I just don't see him doing it. He's just not there, especially with U.S. Open conditions.
Here's the thing. The U.S. Open is traditionally one of the longest and sometimes most difficult courses of the year. That's a fact. One of the other things is that it's taking place at Shinnecock Hills in New York. The last four winners of the U.S. Open, and this is a major, mind you, the last four winners in order at Shinnecock Hills were at 4-under, even, and 1-under. If you want to watch professional golfers struggle and be befuddled by a golf course, this is the tournament to watch, especially at this golf course.
Well, the U.S. Open has narrower fairways than any other major tournament. Higher rough than any other tournament.
Yep.
Faster greens than any other tournament.
Yep.
The only thing it doesn't have is deeper bunkers, because the British Open pretty much has the patent on deep bunkers.
Dude, you could build an apartment complex in some of those bunkers at the British Open.
You really could.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Open Championship, please. The golf gods, pissy with me.
British expats, don't call in and get mad at us for doing that.
David, my good friend, please don't call me about that.
I hate to tell you, but on the other side of the break, I think you're going to get heated quicker than you anticipated, because we've got a call about expensive flights. With that note, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I guess we're going to talk about the expensive taxes on flights, because we had to restore the Astrodome.
Oh, before we go, I have some numbers about the Olympics and the World Cup.
Okay.
So the Olympics were in Rio, and the World Cup was in Brazil as well.
Sure.
And during the Olympics, Rio received 1.2 million visitors, and according to Rio's City Hall, 410,000 were not from Brazil. So 410,000 visitors not from Brazil. And during the World Cup, Rio received 886,000 tourists, and 471,000 were from a foreign country. So just comparing those two numbers, you had more tourists outside, not from Brazil, to visit Brazil more during the FIFA World Cup. And the TV viewing numbers, the FIFA World Cup in Brazil received 3.2 billion viewers, while the Olympics received 3.5 billion.
Okay, so the viewership numbers, I've got to think they're close. I got to think the difference is the specified nature of the World Cup only being soccer, and the Olympics being 150 different sports.
But the thing is, it's not that far apart.
No, it's not. But the World Cup also has a full month to get more viewers versus two weeks for the Olympics. So interesting stuff.
And the World Cup only has about 32 countries participating, whereas the Olympics has a lot more countries.
That's a good point too. Only 32 qualify for the World Cup finals, so that's a good point too.
Yeah. So I guess in terms of ratings, you get better viewership from the World Cup just from like a per capita, I guess, standpoint.
Yeah, because, I mean, a billion people in India, you get a big summer Olympic team, but they're not qualifying for the World Cup anytime soon. So that's a lot of viewers you miss out on. Good numbers by John. When we come back, we'll take your call, Corey. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to The Blitz.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.